Well, this is a semi-continuation of what Sunday night. There wasn't a lot of people here on Sunday night, and I get that. It's the Sunday night before Christmas, and a lot of plans are done. So, but what I talked about is in, through, and by faith. And I was talking about there's three types of faith mentioned in the Bible. There's the faith, which is the bones or structure of what we believe. That's the in part. We believe in that. And that all of that comes from the Bible. And then we talked about through faith of or saving faith and the faith that we put in the person and work of Jesus Christ for our salvation. And that's the foundation. The in and salvation is the foundation of what, after we have the relationship, of what we need to do from then. We become a child of God, and it changes our life of who we are, our standing, of our understanding. And so we kind of talked about that and incorporated it, and then we talked about through, or by, and that's what I'm going to continue with today is by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so we're going to talk about the daily faith that we talked about on Sunday night. That so we take that structure of the faith, and based upon our salvation, we can walk daily by faith. And I really want to do that today. But again, just faith. I think Charles Riley gives the most structured and best definition of faith. It's giving credence, confidence, trust, or holding something, and I love this, very important, or someone as true. And that's very important. So, but I'm going to have us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today. Please forgive me. I might be getting something myself. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 7, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. But just follow along as I read out loud. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall rise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or abound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I think this is a great example of for us to follow in thinking about the types of faith and what we need to do. It helps categorize in our mind and be structured in what we do. We're not just blind faith people. We have a content to our faith, and that is God's word. And as we methodically go through things and structure things, you know, in business, you make a business plan. Why? Do you probably know all of those things? Yes. But when you make a business plan, it gives you a methodical way of going through things, and it's much more structured. And we as believers are thinking people. We're not just blind faith people. And I want us to really put this into thought and practice into our lives and really incorporate it into how we think and what we do. There's two points I'm going to make today, and there's only two, but I'm going to talk about faith and grace, daily faith and grace, and then daily faith and hope and how those factor into our lives. I think it's very important that we understand that and be very mindful of the faith or the content of what we believe in. So starting off here, it's great. So we need to know where we stand before an all-holy God, and I think verse 7 says that very well. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When we think about that, we are earthen vessels. That's a brittle thing. God has made us, but we're very brittle, especially in comparison to an all-holy God. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we forget things. We can be prideful. We're wrong. We don't know everything, even though we think we do. And God knows that, but he uses us anyway. Now, in the context of here is he's talking about himself, and in the context of sharing the gospel. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but there's a lot of people out there that are blinded by the little g God of this world. And it's important that we think about them. It's important how we present the gospel to them. It's important that we know that there is an adversary out there. And how we live our daily lives, knowing all of these things, helps us to make a battle plan, if you will. So his perfect plan is to use our inadequacies to show that we are not powerful, but that he is. I love that. It's power may be of God and not of us. It's such a precious moment of realization. It makes us realize that we need him and the whole world couldn't exist without him. Paul is a great example of this. And like I said, why would Paul go through all of this life suffering for the gospel and not believe it? Why would he do that? See, his testimony gives credence to what he is telling us. See, he understood, he was taught of the Lord. He knew the scriptures even when he was Saul. But because he didn't understand them and take them in the right context, his in the faith wasn't proper. But when Christ met him at the road to Damascus, it was a beautiful thing. And he like, okay, Jesus is real. He really is alive again. He didn't just die on Calvary's cross, but he rose again. And he's calling me, and he put his faith and trust in him at this time. But Paul now is wanting to pass that along to the church in Corinth. But because we are weak and we need to be mindful of God's grace. See, that's when we get prideful and we start taking upon ourselves to compare amongst other people, because you can always find somebody that's not living as good of life as you can, or you are at the moment, or somebody that's, oh, they're so much better than me. But that's not the point of Christianity. We're not to compare ourselves with other people. We're comparing ourselves with God and God's word. And that's where it's important that we understand that we are earthen vessels and that we have a job to do and that we need God. And anything that we get that is a blessing is because of his grace. He loves us. We only need to have daily faith that he can and will accomplish in and through what he wants from us. And we need to understand that we're earthen vessels and that we need his grace to accomplish anything. So the Apostle Paul breaks down some paradoxes here, and I'm fascinated at it. And we're going to look at these here first. And then we're going to look at, because in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he does this, gives us paradoxes to kind of give us a feeling of where we're at and who we are in our sin nature and who we are in Christ with his grace. So the first one is, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You have problems in this life that can get you down. It's very hard. You feel pressure from all things coming around you. Now, again, I'm going to put this in the context of I don't think I've ever been persecuted in my Christian life ever. I don't know. I just had a great life that way. Nobody's mocked me and made me feel horrible about my faith. Nobody's thrown me in prison. Nobody's, you know, I've never lost a job or lost financial gain because I'm a believer. But that doesn't mean that we don't have problems and we can't put this into context. But we have we feel the pressures coming at you at time. We're hard-pressed is what that underlying Greek word talks about, and I love that. Hard-pressed. You just feel like you're getting smashed. And sometimes we feel that way. But on the opposite side, not distressed. You can remember, we know that God can take care of that. We know that God's going to take care of it. Perplexed, not in despair. There are times when we just can't see a way out of a situation. Sometimes, you know, and I tell you this all the time, I really am one of those people, I like to manipulate things to get my way. You know, I just naturally want to fix things. I naturally just inclination to do that. And sometimes there's just possibilities where you just can't see a way out. And then the only thing that you can do is cry out. You can't do it, or you just got to wait or be patient. This can lead down to wrong directions or wrong decisions, but then you remember that God knows the way, and you need to patiently wait for him. Persecuted, not forsaken. Again, I've never suffered any real persecution in my Christian life, but when you are persecuted, it can make you feel alone. It kind of just makes you feel like you're separated, that nobody cares, everybody's against you. But then you remember that God is right there and waiting for you, waiting to help you. He's there for you. Cast down, but not destroyed. Something can blindside you. Just something, we've all had this, where something just came out of the blue and you're blindsided and you're taken off your game and you get knocked down and you don't know what to think because of your own, it's just happened so quickly. But God will only allow you to endure what you're able to bear. And he gives these paradoxes, and it makes it feel richer to me in my mind of, I've been here, but I know God is here. I don't need to go this far. This has happened, but it won't get any worse, or it can't get worse above what I can bear. We need to remember that. Dying in Jesus, but alive in him. Paul a lot of times put his life in jeopardy. Many times his life in jeopardy. The threat of physical death was imminent, and eventually he was martyred. But he knew he was alive spiritually and that the Lord was there with him, and he was doing what the Lord would have him to do. Now, was the Apostle Paul perfect? No. We always talk about that. Those things which I should do, I don't do, and those things I shouldn't do, that's what I do. But when we think about these contexts and these paradoxes, it says, you know what? Hey, everybody has this problem too. Now, again, we're not going to compare, you know, this was harder for me than, that was much harder for me than it was for you. That's not the point of it. But to understand and have somebody around you that can empathize with you and sympathize with you and understands biblical truth, just like this family right here, I'm so thankful for that. But alive in him, he will come back. Now, I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I'm going to read verses 4 through 10 here. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions and necessities and distresses, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings, but pureness by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, but the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as known and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now, here's some more paradoxes, but this time there's a grouping. And the first group of this, there's 27 of these listings. And the first set is negative experiences that he's gone through. I have gone through this. This is what he's saying. I have gone through this. Listen to me. And I think it was a blessing, especially then, because that church was being persecuted. And he wanted to encourage them. It's okay. It's going to be okay. The Lord has this. Through patience, he endured some extremely hard things. And again, we know afflictions. I was just like I talked last Sunday night about Job. He was greatly afflicted, but I've never seen it before. No, well, I've read through it probably 20 times, but at the end of chapter 3, he talks about the thing that I most greatly feared came upon me. Basically, I'm paraphrasing that. But when he said that, it was kind of amazing to me because it's like, even when he had all those riches and his family and all those things, when he's really telling the truth, he says, I always had a fear of losing those things. But then he still worshiped the Lord. Sometimes those greatest fears that you have will come out. And you will realize them because the Lord wants to teach you something. The Lord wants you to grow and learn and do these things. Necessity. He had some great needs. Distresses, anguish, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, or instability. That kind of the idea of being perplexed. Labors, watchings, sleeplessness. I think all of us have experienced that. I don't know of anybody that's never, you know, I talk about that all the time. People come up to me and say, yes, I know what you're saying. And in Psalms, and David talks about that, the watchings where you just wake up and you can't sleep. And then everything gets all mixed up because when you don't sleep, you don't get rest. And when you don't get rest, you're tired. And when you're tired, things start going sideways. You don't think properly and on and on. And then fastings or hunger. He was going without food. And he's saying, it's okay. I've gone through there because the Lord is here with us. Now, how do you respond to this? This is part of this daily life. Well, he gives the next verses, starting in verse 6, positive responses. And he's saying, I'm going to respond in this way because that's what the Lord would have me to do. With pureness. With pureness. That's a fascinating word to me because truth is a big deal. It is a big deal. And how people respond is very important to things. But with pureness, it's full 100% saying the truth, but with the right heart attitude. A lot of times as believers, we'll say the right thing, but inside, And it's better to say the right thing, but have the right attitude with it also is even better, right? I'm not saying it's okay to say the right thing and not do it. Even the gospel has been presented to people. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Corinthians also, about sharing that in the wrong attitude. But praise the Lord, because some people will believe through that. Knowledge. You answer with the faith. You give God's word. Sometimes it's hard when people ask you for advice, and everybody's asked for advice. But you need to respond with knowledge of what you know in God's word. That's the right way to do it. Sometimes it's not the answer that they want to hear, but that's the only answer I have because I'm not that smart, but God is. I just give God's word and say, you know, hey, what can we do to help you? And walk alongside them. Long suffering. This is a world of instant, I'm mad at you and you're going to suffer. You said something I don't like and your family and your job are going to go away. If you noticed lately in this world, in this political correct world, long suffering with people is very important. That really shines nowadays when you're kind and patient with people and care about them. The Holy Ghost. The power of the Spirit is amazing. Like I said, I don't know how that always works. But the Bible tells us that He works in and through us, through His Word. That He is there to help us. And that's sometimes you need to calm down a little bit when it comes. All of these things that have happened in the past, calm down, look at it, and say, okay, Lord, I need your help. And sometimes, you know, what's funny is you'll recall a scripture. And I'm not saying this is some miraculous thing, but that's what he uses, this scripture, to help you understand, to give you comfort through those times. Love unfeigned. Sincere love. To love people the way God loves them. And not this fake stuff. I'm going to use one of Matt's analogies, but I watched that 600-pound life TV show once in a while. And one of my problems is when they get to a certain point in life, they can't move around. But there's always someone there to bring them what they don't need. And they call that love. But that's not biblical love. That's giving them. You know, my dog just recently, the last 2 months, just ballooned up. Just ballooned. And I took him in because he's been having health problems, and they wrote on there obese. And it's like, my dog's not obese. And we haven't been feeding him much. I think he has a medical problem, but dogs have thyroid problems, I find out. So, oh, anyway, it's an animal, but okay. I like animals, don't get me wrong. But when you think about those things and how you react to people and what help you give them, that's love unfeigned. When you give them biblical truth, when you handle it in a way that God says, this is what I want you to do. God loved us so much that he died on Calvary's cross and rose again. That's sacrificial love. That's the kind of stuff that you need to do. Not just saying it or giving them what they want, but giving them the truth and truly caring about the power of God. I love that. The power of God. Having full knowledge of knowing that what we tell them is true and how to incorporate that and having confidence in telling those people this is truth. And the armor of righteousness. You know, it talks about, we talked about a little bit about the shield on Sunday night in Ephesians chapter 6. And the power of all of those things and that having that shield of faith. Where you can take everything that's coming at you and you can hold it up, and that shield is there to protect you. And when you think about those things, that's like, okay, I need to believe this because it will keep my mind right and God says it's true and I'm going to trust in that in my daily life. Now, it doesn't mean that we always get what we want, but we always get what God wants for us. And that's the important aspect of it. So, and then the next, here's these paradoxes again, the contrast and comparisons in verses 8 through 10. It says, honor and dishonor. And I'm fascinated by these, evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, unknown yet well known, as dying yet we live, chastened and not killed, sorrowful yet rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, and as having nothing and yet possessing all things. It's our mindset with these things. And it's in the spiritual realm and it's in the physical realm also. The honor and dishonor. I am always fascinated by people's reactions to things. People react to different things of what they like and don't like. From food. I could love this food and somebody's like, that's the grossest thing I've ever seen. Like, I hate Proverbs chapter 6. No. Maple bars. I just hate maple donuts. In fact, when I see one, it kind of makes me angry because there's a good donut on the bottom, but it's got maple on the top. Now, I know some people, that's their favorite donut. Does that make sense? But again, we all have opinions, right? And that's not a truth that maple's really bad. That's not a truth. That's an opinion. But when we go through these things and whatever we're presenting, we need to stand strong in our daily faith because we need to stay strong and believe in confidence of what God's word tells us. So when we do that, some people's going to say honor and dishonor. Remember all, everybody would sneak in after Paul had established a church or he'd visited a church and start trying to change the doctrine of how you get saved or what you believe. And they're just criticizing him. Here's what's supposed to be good and pure and true. But as soon as he'd leave, or even while he was still there, they'd confront him hard and say, hey, you know what? You're not an honorable man. You're not telling the truth. You can't win sometimes. Evil report and good report. People are saying bad things about what you're doing, and some people are saying great things about what you're doing. And how we respond to that is very important. Again, feelings, God gave us feelings and emotions, and they're important. But we can't base our life upon those feelings and emotions. Some people, if somebody says something to us, we just, you know, that goes against what we, the truth, and we just get mad and just push them away. Some of us look at them and go, oh my word, are they right? What do I do? And we need to have that balance of in between, of knowing God's word, taking God's word, and believing it and trusting it, and no matter what else comes around us, to stand firm on God's truth. And not in a bragging way, but in a kind, patient, loving way that we need to do it. Unknown yet well known, and dying as yet we live, chastened and not killed. Sorrowful yet rejoicing. I was thinking about that. Sometimes you're sorrowful when a loved one passes away. It's sorrowful. It hurts. But in one sense, when they're a believer, you're rejoicing for them. You're just a little jealous because they're with the Lord. And I'd greatly look forward to that. As poor, yet making many rich. And making many rich. Paul sacrificed a lot. He was way up there in his Jewish faith. He had it all. But he gave it up in order to tell the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Having nothing and yet possessing all things. See, this is where it really becomes truthful in the realm of physical versus spiritual realms. Because we live here, that's what we see. And we're going to talk about that in verse 18 here in a little bit. But we are rich in the Lord. We have the inheritance that the beginning of Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 talk about us, this great inheritance. We possess all things that are important, that are pure, that are good, that are right. And having nothing, though, he had nothing. These paradoxes point out the reality of the sin in this world. The reality of the little g god of this world trying to stop anything to do with the Lord that Paul mentions in the beginning of chapter 4 is very important that we understand those things are going to happen. They will happen. And as I think about those things, it's easier when you know something's coming, isn't it? You can prepare for it. And that's what we're doing, talking about today. It's a testament to God's grace. The first part of the paradox is what we deserve in this life. I can't imagine, because of Revelation and during the tribulation, but I can't imagine with the common grace, what we call common grace, that God gives to all people, that the world isn't burned up, that we're not killing each other. You know, you see those apocalyptic documentaries and the things that were going on during World War II. I had to slip in World War II for Gary, by the way. A World War II and what was happening. And you're just running for your life or doing turmoil and all topsy-turvy and what you have to do. It's important that we remember God's grace. And all of this is to be prepared and ready to do the work of the ministry, to share the gospel, to be a witness for Jesus, to be prepared to serve and to glorify at every opportunity, not just as robots, but as people created by God that he loves and cares about. There's so many times in my life, and I say this all the time, and I say that all the time, but you get so busy in life trying to complete the task of this world that you forget to share the gospel with people. And, you know, that happened to me a couple months ago, and it just tore my heart out. Here was a perfect opportunity, but I was so intense on finishing the task on my house that I didn't do it. And it's just like, wow. Wow. There was a great, the Lord just opened the door right there. But I was so focused on what I had to do, because I'm a doer, that I forgot to care about people. I talked to them. I was kind and nice and how's your day? But I didn't share that moment. I didn't share that time. I didn't share the faith at that time. So it's important that we understand that God's grace plays a vital role in our daily life, and that we have his word, and that we should stand on that foundation of being a child of his. That's the foundation of that. We know we're secure in that. And we know that he will give us what we need to accomplish what he wants us to do. So the second point is, like I said before, is faith and hope, how they go together. And we're going to look at it. We'll start at back in chapter 4 and look at verse 13. It says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." I'm running out of time here, so I'm not going to have you turn. That is a quote from Psalm 116, verse 10. And the psalmist is talking about a difficult time in their life and what they were going through. And the Lord delivered them, and they were so grateful and thankful. He could not help but speak about it. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. As is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, I want you to notice that there's stages to every one of these things. Christ to Paul, Paul to the believers in Corinth, and Paul to us today throughout history. There's a pattern here that we need to follow. Christ, Apostle Paul, the apostles, the church, which is us from now, and we're to carry that on. That's where we need to remember these things, because we have a job to do. We're not just here to get saved and then just wait our time out. So faith and hope. Now he quotes this Psalm 166:10. Gary and I have talked about this quite a bit. One of the greatest advantages of being a believer in Christ is that we have hope. If you really think about that, we have hope. We always have somebody to turn to. We always have somebody there for us. We always have a knowledge of truth, a basis, a foundation. Now, no matter what happens in this world, we have a relationship with Jesus, our Savior. But faith and hope, and I want us to think about this, faith and hope are complementary. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Hope is looking to the reality of the future. They both entail faith, that belief, that trust. But when you think about this, so we know when we look at it that we have an example of Paul, an example in God's word that God is gracious, that he's helped, even back to the psalmist in Psalm 116. And then when we come up to here, we have Paul here, and he's saying all of these things to the Corinthian church and to us, saying, okay, this is where we stand in Christ. We know that he is going to come again one day, and we will be with him. And Matt, I wasn't going to go too deep, and Matt's covering this in Romans, where we're being sanctified right now, and there's three things of salvation. And when it is fulfilled, that's what our hope is, when we are with Christ. Now, it's as good as filled right now, but we're not experiencing the benefits of that. And I'm so excited about that part of it. So we have this hope, though. And in verse 14, it says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now, why do we believe in the resurrection? Well, the Bible tells it, says it so. But also in the Bible, as a history book, we see many people that have believed. How did Christianity get here today without being true? The Apostle Paul would not have gone through these things if it wasn't true, that he didn't fully believe in it, that he didn't see the resurrected Christ. And when you think of these things, it just builds up that faith a little bit more. It's not a blind faith. It's a historical fact. 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. Paul himself saw the resurrected Christ. And so as you think about these things, that daily faith and that hope of him coming back, because I will one day be resurrected. I will be one day resurrected. Now, it's not a hope like, man, I sure hope. I wish I'll be resurrected. It's a confident expectation, and we say that a lot here because it's important to realize the rest. Paul found that on the road to Damascus, and he was looking forward to that day enough to go through those to walk daily by faith. Then verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Doing things for others with expectation of glorifying God. Again, our motivation is very important, what we do. Our motivation should be to glorify God. Now, when we go through these things and we walk daily by faith and we think about our hope in the future, there comes a couple different things. We will be rewarded for those things that we do here on earth. We will be rewarded during the millennial kingdom. And I look forward to that. But as we go through these things, it's for other people. That's what believers are about, is other people. And as we go through life, we need to love them and endure things for other people. We talked about being long-suffering and our responses to other people. He had sacrificed for them, and he wanted to show the example for them to know that they should sacrifice for others and that the snowball effect should go on. All the things that we mentioned earlier that Paul had gone through was because of God's grace. God deserves the glory. It's not that he, you know, pulled his boots on and real hard and put his big boy pants on and did it himself. No, he got through it because of God. We know, and then in verse 16, we know our bodies are failing, but the inner man is growing and getting stronger. Whew. The physical part of these earthen vessels are hard to deal with sometimes. We have colds now. Even Ron and I were talking about it a little bit earlier. I can come to church almost stone, you know, almost just on deathbed, but I don't want to infect other people. That's one of those things, and I'm always that task. I want to be there, so I'm going to be there, but instead of thinking about other people and, you know, don't shake their hand, don't cough on them, don't, you know, lick their cup, whatever you do. I just got that from my wife. I don't know what to do about that. Somebody, any guys want to give me advice and just tell me later. So we know our bodies are failing, and that makes us realize that we need God even more. But that inner man that God strengthens, that inner man should be growing day by day. We should have an excitement about the things of the Lord. We should be excited about reading God's word. We should be excited about coming to God's people. But sometimes that body kind of takes that away from us. But we should be renewing our daily. Verse 17, it says, these things are but a short time, but with a bright future. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Like I said, if you know the end, you have that hope, it's a lot easier to get it through it now. Because you know it will be better. You know it will be better. You have that confident expectation. It will get better. This will get better as we get through this. And it really is great to be with the Lord. Now, in verse 18, it says, these things that we deal with now, this sin-cursed world, isn't the way it's going to be in the future. And I said, this is one of the biggest caveats of the Christian life, is living at everything in a world that we deal with, everything that we see. Everything that we see. Where we live, what we drive, people around us, where we come to church, all of those things are things that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And I'm thankful for all of those things. But how we look at them in light of eternity is different. And there's a balance there, because God gave us these earthen vessels and we're to enjoy things. You know, my mother-in-law made me a great steak last night. It was delicious. And I'm thankful for it. But when those things in life become more important than living for the Lord or walking by faith, or even if it just takes up our mind just a little more than it should of thinking about those things, that's where we need to reevaluate things. And remember that our hope is not in these things, but we have to deal with these things, but in the future. And that is the very hard thing to balance. We can go through many hardships, but right now one of our biggest enemies is the love of things in the world. We become distracted from our calling of the Lord and numb to the things of the Lord. I think that's one of the biggest things in our society right now, is just becoming numb to things. People want to numb things. Our ability to get attention is just greater than it's ever been in the history of the world. You can just get on something. You don't like something, or you have to sit there and be quiet for a minute, get your phone out or get on the internet or do these things, because we don't think deeply about things. In fact, I just make myself once in a while just say, okay, I'm not going to do this, because I'm one of those people. I like to fiddle. I want to get it done. I want to get this. And sometimes you just got to take the time. Okay, I'm just going to use my mind today a little bit in a right way. And all of this is just to say that we're all responsible to God in our own way. He has put you where you are at for a reason and a purpose. We're all ministers of God. We all need to have a good testimony. We all need to do those things that right. We all need to understand God's word on our own. We all need to share the gospel. And we need to help each other and encourage each other. Those are the things that we are to be doing. And those things that what the Lord has blessed us, we need to use those things to glorify him. And as we go through life, we need to walk daily by faith, understanding his grace and having hope for the future. And when you think about it in those terms, everything just becomes clearer and a little bit better, or a lot better sometimes. In thankfulness, I don't know how other people get through life. I don't know. If you don't have that basis, and there's a lot of books out there and there's a lot of medication to help you get through those things. But if you're not focused on the Lord, then it doesn't matter. As we look to God's word to have depth of understanding to what we have faith in, with the foundation of our standing before God in faith, as he saved us to daily by faith, living for his glory. And I hope that helps you categorize things in your mind a little bit. We know these things. These are basic things. But when you put it in a perspective of layering or categorizing things, in my mind at least, it helps me to refocus and to stay my attention on the Lord. So I hope that was a help. I enjoyed studying for it. And let's close in a word of prayer. And there's snacks out. I saw the box of snacks. Hopefully there's no maple. No, I'm kidding. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful for who you are and your word. We're thankful for examples of Paul and others in your word. We're thankful that we have other men that we know that had to live these things throughout. It gives us encouragement. It solidifies our faith in your word. It solidifies the things that you say. And above all, I thank you for who you are, that we know that you can accomplish what you say you can do, that you cannot lie, that your promises will be true, and that gives us hope. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.